Good morning, friends and family of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. Welcome to our morning worship here this second Sunday of Easter, which is we're located at 4071 Foster Road, San Antonio, Texas. And to all who are listening on their radio at FM 96.9, if you're looking for a new home church or just one to visit, join us here on Foster Road any Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. Listen now to this reading of Psalm 30, taken from our New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those down in the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell us of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious unto me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you that you enable us to gather together one more time this Sunday, that you enable us to see the sun, to see the light of day one more time. We thankful, Lord, for your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're thankful for family and friends. We're thankful, Lord, for the blessings that you bestowed upon us, the jobs, the money, all those things that we need, Lord. We thank you for your blessing this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would guide us in our service, that you would be with us. Enable us, Lord, to worship you the right way, in spirit and truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Let us break bread together. Let us break bread together. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Congregation, please be seated.
Good morning. Today's topic is affirmations of faith, which is defined as the collective expression of the church's most basic and deeply held beliefs. Our Methodist hymnal lists 10 such readings, starting on page 880 and continuing on to page 889. They are good to read occasionally or frequently. All that is needed is a hymnal and some time. Sometimes none of these 10 fit our needs. We can look through them and use them to guide our and how to cover our personal needs at any given time. It is hard to do. Remember, practice creates productivity.
Most of the time we give back but a small portion of the bounty that God has given us. Pray with me. Father, Creator, Sustainer, we realize that we are here by your grace, that all that we have is a gift from your hand. We ask, Lord, that help us to mindfully give back what we can for your glory. Take our tithes and our offerings, magnify them, and use them for your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from John 21, 1 through 19. Jesus appears to 7 disciples. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it the Lord?" "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus and Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death in which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God. Good morning, church. As Lance read earlier, our Methodist hymnal lists several affirmations of faith which are appropriate for any worship service. This morning, I will read one of them, possibly the most familiar one. If you have a hymnal handy, you can read it with me or just follow along on page 881. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. When our new pastor first came on, he made a reference to that, you know, our last pastor, we gave him a plane and we gave him a helicopter. So he said that he would be happy with a lawnmower. So on behalf of me and the church, I got in touch with Derry, the people who make lawnmowers. I asked them for the cheapest lawnmower I could buy. This is what they came up with. And the first lawnmower that I got, I tried to help him out, and I ended up breaking the axle because I didn't know how this piece fit. So for spare parts, be careful how you try to put that one on as you see.
Okay.
I broke the axle trying to do it for you.
All right.
Okay, so go easy.
Okay.
I ain't making no more.
Okay.
So the pastor's taken care of, y'all. Don't worry about him. He's all right.
Thank you, Jafan. The pastor really appreciates it.
Thank you.
I have two very important announcements here. The first one, after 3 years of Sunday morning Bible study lead, Joe Gonzalez is stepping down. If anyone is led to continue to the Disciples of Christ Bible study, please let Secretary Jan know in order to resume the bulletin agenda. Once again, if anybody is interested to take over, just let Jan know. The next announcement that I have, if you are planning an event, please let Jan know in the office so that it can be put on the church bulletin and the church calendar. If there is a conflict in dates, first come, first serve. So there won't be any adjustments. Whoever comes first, they're going to get the date that they want, and then the group that wants, you know, the same date, they're going to have to pick a different date, okay? So that's just a friendly reminder of the way it's going to work. And now for the rest of the week, on Monday at 10:30 a.m., the Wesley Covenant Group will meet in Building B. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., the Women's Bible Study group will meet in Building B. And then at 11, the Reunion group will meet in Building B. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., Oasis will be in the church lobby. And then Saturday, the Romeos and the Juliets will be meeting at Sophia's.
The Juliets will be at Denny's.
Okay. I stand corrected.
No, I stand corrected.
Okay. Oh, okay. And those are all the announcements that I have. Thank you.
Would you make an announcement? 13 days. 13 days. That's not very long, okay? So if you're getting a table, or you're getting a booth, or you're helping out, or you're bringing in sodas or water, just think you're coming. Bringing in stuff for the spring yard sale, 13 days.
As we prepare our hearts for the message, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come seeking, we come searching, we come thirsty for your word. We ask, Lord, that you give your Holy Spirit to Brother Gene so that his words may be your words today. Help him to have the strength and the courage to deliver your word to us and give us the strength and courage to hear your word and take action by taking your word to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. Good morning again, church.
Good morning again.
But Almighty God, I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, now and forever. Amen. You know, our gospel story this morning is really unusual in several ways. First of all, the gospel looks like it was intended to end with the closing of chapter 20, when the author wrote, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name." That is a beautiful paragraph, and it certainly reads like an ending to the writing. However, this morning's designated reading was another post-resurrection story. Several days. Why John added it, we don't know. But, you know, we'll get to that a little bit later. But first of all, there have been countless scholars who have debated throughout the centuries why this strange ending, as some say, for this beautiful gospel. Many different answers have been proposed for just this phenomenon. Yet, this chapter remains in every printing or publication of the gospel, beginning with the very oldest one we have available. This is sometimes a little bit confusing if we think too much before we read. The best answer for this question remains just exactly as it has always been. The author went to join his Savior in the hereafter about AD 90, and any and all possible answers to this big question went with him. Yet, the 21st chapter does contain a lot of valuable information for us to study, to ponder, to dwell on, to try to fully understand and to finally accept as the true ending of John's edition of more information he deemed were well worth his time to print. We have heard from Jan's reading, thank you, Jan, that 7, why not 12 of the disciples were gathered, and the 7 were separated from the others. Why is never answered. Why is left to our imaginations. Yet the next information seems so obvious, so normal for this group gathered at this time in their lives. Why they were gathered is really not known, but in his true-to-form style, overreacting Peter took charge with the sentence, "I'm going fishing." You know, we don't know what to do. I know what to do when I'm out on a boat fishing. I've done it all my life. I'll feel comfortable doing that. Well, the others were more stable and settled and not as reactionary as Peter, so they were a little less reactionary, and they said, "We'll go with you." So everybody there wanted to go fishing. These men had lost their longtime leader and teacher, Jesus. The disciples were gathered. I'm sorry, they were lost. Lost like a ship without its rudder. What do we do next? Which way do we go? Well, the one assuming leadership came up with an idea which really was going back to things we know about. We're going fishing. Peter had been a fisherman, of course, his entire life. So he was returning to the past, the life with which he was comfortable, the one he had lived for so long. And the group gathered there with him had no better idea than his, so they joined him in something with which at least 2 others were familiar with. The sons of Zebedee had been fishermen their entire lives. Maybe they were trying to find a place where they could sort out their minds and as a group decide, what do we do next? Jesus didn't tell us. Well, maybe they hadn't remembered yet, because the guidance that they would receive later, Jesus had given them in chapter 14 when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The 7 stayed on Lake Tiberias all night and caught nothing. They were doing my kind of fishing. But just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the shore of the lake and said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." Now, I have heard this interpreted by clergy that knew a heap more about it than I did. One of them was also a lifetime fisherman, and he said, if you're standing up higher than the level of the water, looking out into the water, you can see where the fish are. Well, maybe Jesus sent the fish over there so he could tell the disciples where to find them. I don't know, but he did tell them where the fish were, and they did cast their net. And they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. The others came in the boat. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with a fish on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Peter went aboard the boat and hauled the net ashore. a half a paragraph ago, they couldn't, all of them working together couldn't drag the net, but now Peter is being Peter. He reached out and got it done. It was filled with 153 fish. And Jesus came to them and took some of the bread and gave it to them, like we will do later, some of God's bread. And he did the same with the fish. This, of course, was the third time he had been with the disciples since he was raised from the dead. And when the breakfast was finished, it was time to correct the leader of the disciples. Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Wait a minute. That's not a complete thought. More than you love these, or more than these love me? There's another one that's left into our imaginations. And Peter, of course, said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my sheep." Then Jesus said to Peter a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because for the third time Jesus had said to him, "Do you love me?" And he said back to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Well, as Jan read earlier, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten your belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He was indicating the kind of death which Peter was going to use to glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." It may have been because Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times during the horrible trial that Jesus went through, that he challenged Peter's love three times. We don't know, but that sure does preach good. And when he said, "Follow me," was he speaking only to Peter? Or did he also know that he was speaking to the gospel writer who was in his presence? And between them, it would be passed down through the centuries so that this same two-word sentence would come to each of us here in Alamo United Methodist Church. You didn't know Jesus was here, did you? Yes, he is. Jesus wasn't speaking only to Peter. Some church leaders have taught that what Jesus said was to tell us, as well as to tell his contemporary audience, to follow him. Whether this is true or not, it is well worth the reading. And I say, Almighty God, as this message is, as nearly as possible, what you gave me to pass on, take it and grow it as you will. Help each of us to follow you this day and forever, and guide us so to live our lives such that we may be with you forever in heaven. It is in your sacred name that I pray. But friends, I've told not to end there. If Jesus can expand the Gospel of John, I'll expand the sermon. I have just one more thing. If there's anyone here who would like to establish their membership in this congregation, or if there is anyone here who would like for us to pray with them, please come forward now, and we will join you at the altar. May God be with you today and always. Amen.
As we prepare for our communion this morning, I want to remind you about the baskets down front. It's for a love offering for the Agape. Please don't forget to leave your love offerings. And before we start the communion this morning, I also just want to tell you this, to make sure that things are right between you and the Lord this morning. That's so very, very important. It really is. The most important thing in this world is your relationship between yourself and Jesus Christ. What good is it for you to die without the Lord? No good at all. But to die in the Lord is everything, is eternal life. So if things are not right this morning, get things right this morning before you take communion, and the Lord will be very pleased with you. Amen. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time you may offer your prayer in silence, your prayer of reconciliation, your prayer of repentance to the Lord. You may come to the altar if you wish. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The great Thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance
of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
As we serve, you will have the opportunity to either take the wafer, which represents the body of Christ, and I will hand you a cup of the juice. Or if you prefer, we do have the pre-filled packets, and you may take one of those instead if that is your desire. during our hymn of invitation, if you are so moved to come down to the altar to pray one more time, please do so. If you would like to have one of us pray with you, we are here and available for you. The Lord is here. The Spirit of God hovers on this place. And during this time, if there are any that wish to join with this body of Christ or wish to renew their vows, please come forward at this time.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Lord, you have come to the lake shore. Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealth nor for wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. Oh, Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shore lie behind me. By your side I will seek other shores. You know so well my possessions. My boat carries no gold or no weapons. You will find there my nets and labor. Oh Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shore lie behind me. By your side I will seek other seas. You need my hands full of caring through my labors to give others. Now my boat's left on the shore lying behind me. By your side I will seek other seas.
Pastor will lead us in prayer, or Gene.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you for hearing us, Lord. Thank you for being with us in our service. And now, Lord, as we continue on, we ask that you would be with those that are on our sick and shut-in list, those that are at home right now, those that may not feel well even in the sanctuary. We ask that you would bless them as well, Lord. And, Lord, we ask that throughout this week that you would give us a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, so that we may love each other the way you want us to love each other. We'll treat each other the right way. Thank you, Lord. And we ask and we thank you for all your blessings. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today is a little bit of a switch. It's neat when you type everything up just so and then you don't use it. But please join me in praying as Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And as we go from here today, watch out for the traffic. It can be dangerous. Remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for all who are homebound. Be friendly, be safe, and join us here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? Jesus Calls Us.
Jesus calls us through the tumult of our lives while restlessly. Day by day his sweet voice sounded, saying, "Christian, follow me." As of old the apostles heard it by the Galilean lake. Turn from home. Child that would keep us safe.